Peter Wagner got up. He says, I've written over 80 books. He says, and now I realize I've been wrong about a lot of things. I thought, okay, you got my attention. And, you know, eschatologically and in many ways, the Holy Spirit is revealing revelation at such an intense rate. Things that we thought we knew, suddenly the Holy Spirit is shaking. And he was speaking particularly about how God has been bringing revelation of the gospel of the kingdom as opposed to the gospel of salvation or the gospel of healing or the gospel of prosperity or the gospel of this or whatever. He says the Holy Spirit is really helping people wake up and realize we have to preach the full gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. And so it was very exciting to hear how the Lord is and to have our thoughts and our hearts opened up more and more. And I've been finding myself in the last few months that the Holy Spirit has just been pouring revelation in such a profuse way that my head is spinning with the way the Lord is beginning to reveal things. Is anybody else experiencing this? It's like revelation just coming at such a rate. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is awakening his body to begin to recognize things that previously we've just been a little asleep about. And on Sunday morning, Pastor Che's father passed away. He got up and preached Sunday morning, which was just amazing. But Cindy Jacobs she began to speak and say that she'd seen a vision of Che's father, who was a minister, in heaven, actually expounding the word of God to people. And I thought about that, actually, and I thought, that sort of messes with my understanding of heaven a little bit. And so I began to look into it and thinking, you know, what really goes on in heaven? God, what really goes on? Because I've been caught up in some visions of heaven. I've seen some things in heaven, but I haven't actually had an understanding of what activity goes on in heaven. And I was thinking, you know, on earth we mourn when a life is cut short. If someone young dies, there's such deep mourning that goes on, even more so than if someone's led a full life, because we feel like, well, they've missed out on so much life. But, you know, the Bible says that this life is like a breath compared to eternity. But I believe that many in the church haven't got much of an understanding or haven't actually given much thought to the abundant life that goes on after death. You see, if we understood eternity a little better, I think our motivation to bring in the people into the kingdom would increase. You imagine people are motivated to want to see children's lives saved. You know, you begin to, because there's such a sense of, you know, we want to see them fulfill their destiny. But if we understand that you actually also have a destiny in eternity, that there is a life that goes on, I believe that as we become more aware of eternity, we'll begin to understand more our purpose here on earth and the power that we have of releasing heaven on earth. How can you release what you are unfamiliar with? So I just want to talk a little bit about heaven tonight. Is that good? You with me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Psalm chapter 8. Psalm 8, verse 5. Let's just start there. This is an interesting passage because when you look at it in the Hebrew, many of the translations have actually got this quite wrong. My Bible here, New King James, which I normally really enjoy, says here, speaking of man, let's start at verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Did you know God visits us? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor. Do you realize that word where they translated angels there is the same word, Elohim, that is used in Genesis when it says, and God spoke, And God did this. The same word, Elohim, that correctly translated should read, God made us a little lower than Elohim. And you know, as I began to think about this, the joy and the celebration that happens in heaven when God gets to be reunited with these people that he made just a little lower than himself, that they may be one together, that we may be the bride of Christ, I began to have a fresh download of God's love for me. I began to realize again, you know, God loves us so much. He has called us to the place where we're in heaven. We're not all going to be standing around or just on our faces 24/7 worshiping. Worship will be the activity in heaven, the major thing, as it should be in a believer's life on earth. But worship is not just one form. It's not just on our faces crying out, holy, holy, which is a wonderful thing. But God has called us, it says in the scripture, that we will be judging angels. We will be ruling, reigning with him. There's a whole lot of activity that's going to go on in heaven. I believe that God is going to be causing people to be moving creatively. Do you think that God would create us in his image with all this creative purpose? Imagine when we get to heaven with unlimited glorified bodies, with freedom from all sin and sadness and sickness and every limitation removed. Do you believe then that we also lose all of our individuality and become zombies that just bow down every 30 seconds and say, holy? I want to just mess with your thinking just a little bit tonight, okay? Let's have a look at it. Hallelujah. You're still here. That's good. Shandaraka bahasa. Let's have a look at Revelation chapter 21. Hallelujah. Sura mandalea sukurma shebia. Let's have a look at verse 22. It says, actually, we'll start at verse 21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. There'll be no denominations. There'll be no this church or that church. There will be one body in Christ, and it'll be a glorious body, all celebrating and worshiping together. It'll be absolutely wonderful. And the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. In the Garden of Eden, the gate was shut. Here, the gate will never be shut. Hallelujah. It's pretty exciting. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, but there shall by no means enter into it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Hallelujah. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. There'll be serving going on in heaven, and it'll be joyful, and you won't get tired. Hallelujah. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They shall need no lamp nor light of the sun, For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. This is speaking of life eternal. That is, it is not some semi-conscious state. You know, the Buddhists believe you come to a place of union with of union with the universe to the point that you don't need any individuality, and you become this some sort of mindless nothing. But you know, God created you unique and individual, and He was deliberate in doing it. The Bible says that they shall be named with a new name that only they and God will know. You will have a name that only you and God know for all eternity. That speaks to me of individuality. That says that I like you just like you are. He says that you will have a glorified body. And you know, I believe people recognize each other in heaven. You know, Moses and Elijah were recognizable. People were able to be recognized in heaven. If you read the story about the rich man looking up into heaven to see Lazarus, they were recognizable. But you will have a glorious body. There'll be no more receding hairlines or gray hairs. There'll be no more wrinkles or pimples. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, that, and it'll, I believe heaven will be relational. Someone did a study. A university professor in Florida did a study on how many people the average person actually knows. And asking a series of questions of a whole bunch of people, he decided that the average person knows and is capable of knowing about 290 people. And that's the average. Beyond that, your acquaintances, you really can't say you know anything or very much at all about anybody else. You could know about 290 people in our limited state. But in heaven, we will be able to have pure, amazing, intimate relationships with the whole body. Hallelujah. There won't be any night, and you'll have the ability to be able to know everybody and to have relationship with each one. And I believe that life there is far more real and abundant than it is here.
Absolutely.
That this is a crucial time to gather people together, to come, that we might have this life in heaven and that we might live in eternity with the Father.
Yes.
If you think about, people get upset and they say, well, you shouldn't talk about eternity. We need to be living now. And absolutely, we need to be living now. But we also need a revelation that we are not bound by time and space. That we are actually, the minute you come into the kingdom of God, receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, receive His blood transforming you, you become an eternal citizen of heaven. And you enter into the rights and the privileges of a son or a daughter of the Most High God. You enter into the privileges of a royal priesthood. And I believe the more we understand what eternity looks like, the more we will be able to release the glory on earth as He's called us to do. Amen. It says that arise and shine, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. We need to understand what that glory looks like. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Shanda kura mahasa. You know, He says there's going to be a marriage feast of the Lamb. There's going to be eating, there's going to be fellowship, there's going to be joy, there's going to be rejoicing. There's going to be new songs. There's going to be creative art. I believe God is going to cause us to fully function as we were intended to function. You think about Adam and Eve in the garden. He put them in there with a free will. And he didn't expect them the whole time just to be on their faces saying, holy, holy. He said, I want you to go and I want you to take dominion over this whole place that I've given you. I want you to go and tend the garden. I want you to enjoy all that I've made here. I want you to explore it. I want you to name these things. And then when sin entered, the garden was closed. The gate was closed. But Jesus came as the second Adam that we might be able then now to live as God intended us to live. You know, imagine Adam having to name all the animals. There's more than 290. You know, God, we're going to have a glorified body. Whereas on the earth we see through a glass dimly, we are going to know as we are known. And we are going to be able to function as God created us to be. Individual, human, but glorified. Hallelujah. And it's going to be an amazing thing. Hallelujah. Our bodies won't be subject to decay. And if we are the first fruits, you know, imagine what it's going to look like in heaven. If this is just a shadow land compared to what God is going to do, if we're going to be ruling and reigning, I wonder what that's going to entail. It's a good thought to begin to stop and begin to think, Lord, I want to understand, I want to know what heaven looks like. You know, if we're called to rule and reign with Him, if we're called to judge angels, as we wake up and recognize that is our heavenly home, that is our place of residence, we need to understand also that when He said, I've given you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth is what is already loosed in heaven, God wants us to begin to recognize that we are standing on earth under an open heaven, able to release whatever goes on up there. You see, the power that we have, and this is what we are being awakened to right now, is that we don't have to wait for the sweet by and by to begin to move in the authority that we have been born into. When you've been born again, you've been born into what? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. So if you've been born again into the kingdom of God, right now, you as the temple, which is also in heaven, God, they say there is no temple because there is only one temple, and that's God Himself. That is like an embassy on the inside of you right now. Have a read of that again. Look what it says. Verse 22, it says, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Now you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are an embassy on earth of what is in heaven. Yes. If you think about an embassy, I mean, my husband's a consul, so we visit the Finnish embassy quite often in Canberra. But if someone comes into the embassy, onto embassy grounds, they are no longer subject to the rules that go on outside the embassy. If someone runs into an Australian embassy as an Australian citizen and is given access into the embassy in a country, say a communist country or somewhere where there's a civil war going on, if they come in, they have diplomatic immunity. They cannot be forced to be brought out again, and that they enter into a zone, a diplomatic zone. And we, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, are no longer subject to the rules of sin and decay that go on in the world that we live in. We actually carry the embassy of God within us. We carry the kingdom of God within us. We carry the temple of God within us. And what flows out of the temple? A clear, crystal clear, pure river. What does the Bible say flows out of our belly? rivers of living water. The very same thing that flows from the throne of God flows from you. Why? Because the very same temple that is in heaven is in the inside of you. You carry inside of you heaven. In heaven there is no sickness. There's no fear. There's absolute joy. So you can release healing. You can release peace and deliverance. You can release joy. Hallelujah. God wants us to begin to recognize what it is that we're carrying. I was getting on the airplane with my friend Kelly, and I was telling her, it's just been prophesied over me, Kel, as we're standing in line, I just felt like declaring it to her. I said, it was prophesied to me that every time I get on an airplane, there's going to be stewards and stewardesses and people who are just going to come and do unexpected nice things for me, because it's going to be a demonstration of the love of God to you that you are in the will of God. And I said, so watch and see. We're going to get undeserved favor. We're going to get unexpected favor. You watch and see. So we get in the airplane. We get exit row seats with a seat in between for the long haul. And so Kelly's sitting there. And then the steward comes over and he says, hey, you want some of the stuff from business class? I said, oh, okay. Then he comes back and says, you want some pajamas from business class? And the whole trip, it went on and on. And Kelly just sat there going, this is ridiculous. So when we got in the plane to come home, she began declaring in the line, favor surrounds me. This stuff happens. So it happens. We get these amazing seats. She began to declare, instead of saying, I know I can't sleep on airplanes, she began to say, I'm going to sleep 6 hours. I said, I'm going to sleep 8 hours. And so I slept 8 hours and she slept 6 hours. But you know what? We have what we say, because we carry a power and authority. Now, don't get upset with me and say it's all about, you know, you're being selfish or materialistic. It's just a little example of the power of our words. You know, when I declare and I walk around and I say what's going to happen, I declare people are going to be healed tonight. I declare that I lay hands on the sick and they recover. So they do. Why does this stuff happen? Why are we able to say something and see it come to pass? We can do that because we are a royal priesthood. We are called and anointed and already ordained and sent out to rule and to reign.
Yes, amen.
Yeah. I believe in the majesty, the royalty of the believer. And I believe that we are called to begin to wake up and recognize that we're not entitled to whinge and complain and carry on like the rest of the world. We are called to rise up and recognize, hey, I am not an orphan, but I am taken care of by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is my daddy. And he will take care of me. I believe we're meant to be the happiest people on the planet. You know, I was in the car with Mark and Anne, and they took a wrong turn, and I just said, oh, but look, we get to see these lovely houses along the way. And he said, you know, you do that all the time. He said, you always find something to be happy about. And, you know, I've been the person that you know, gets negative and grouchy and goes, oh, this is happening and this is happening and this is happening. And I've been the person that finds something to enjoy and rejoice about and to acknowledge the kisses of God in situations. And I know which person has more fun.
Yeah, that's right.
I see the negative people and I see those that look for the kisses of God. And I know who I'd rather be around. And you know, God wants us to be daily filling up from that river of his joy, so that we've got that divine connection just continuously flowing, so that out of our bellies and out of our mouths flows the joy of the Lord, that the hope, hallelujah, that springs eternal, hallelujah, that the joyful expectation that something good is going to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe that there's a shift going on, and the people of God are going to wake up and recognize we are not orphans. We are not people that are just biding our time until finally we get there. But right now, we can walk in the authority and the beauty and the joy of heaven right now. And we can see the glory of God released on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. I'm looking into this more and more because the Holy Spirit has been stirring me up to be really looking and having a heavenly perspective about things. I believe that we are entering a time of harvest like we've never seen before. I prophesy that Jesus movement that they saw back in the 70s is going to be just like a foreshadowing of what we're going to see in these coming days. In those days, people were finding Christ all over the place. It was just an easy, easy thing for people to come to Christ. They were coming to get to Christ in droves. That Lonnie Frisbee would get on the beach and say, "Who wants to be saved?" And everybody would say, "Me, I want to get saved." It was that easy. And we are going to see that in a bigger way in this nation very soon. And so we need to have a people that are joyfully expecting this is going to be something that God is going to use me for. Hallelujah. That when we pray, we are not begging like beggars. We are declaring, hallelujah, releasing what we have continuous access to on earth. Hallelujah, as it is in heaven. Shandaraba.
Amen.
Father, I thank you for the stirring of your Spirit. And I ask for the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that we begin to understand like we've never understood before what your eternal life looks like. Father, that you would give us, even as that man years ago would walk around the streets of Sydney writing eternity, Lord, I ask that we would get a fresh revelation of our eternal destiny, that we would get a fresh revelation of heaven, Father, that we would begin to release on earth and begin to walk, Lord God, as sons and daughters of the Most High. Father, I thank you, Holy Spirit, Lord, that we are not, God, we are not a people that just disappear in the multitudes, but that you see each one of us and love us, Lord God. Father, I thank you for your heart. I thank you for your joy, Lord. I thank you for your love, Lord, that your eye is upon us, Lord, that even, Father, you not a sparrow falls from the sky and you don't know about it, Lord. Your eye is upon each one of us. And, Lord, you're calling and drawing us, Lord, to begin to walk and be clothed with what you have designed us to be clothed with, your glory. Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, it was said of Jesus that he wouldn't break a bruised reed and he wouldn't even snuff out a smoking candle. And you know, there's some people here tonight, you may feel a little bit like a smoking candle. You may feel like your fire's just gone out, but God's looking at it and going, "Oh, there's still hope. See the smoke. See that they're here in the meeting. Look at them. There's still hope." And the Holy Spirit wants to breathe on you tonight to cause you to come into flame. God wants to use you so that many will come to the brightness of your rising. You might feel like a bruised reed, snapped and broken, but the Lord says, I see you, and he says, I will do a miracle with your life, and I will cause you to be shine like a star in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Nothing is too difficult for me. I can make miracles out of messes. I'll bring beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He says, if you'll bring me your brokenness, I'll give you my life, my strength, my wholeness, and I will confound the wise in the way that I will use you.